everybody. Welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly, episode 94. I'm your host, Dr. Vankman, and joining us today on our wonderful podcast, we have Mazer.
Hello.
Hey, Mazer. How was your Halloween?
My Halloween was sucktacular. I had an itchy throat on Friday. Saturday morning, I woke up. I felt fine, but I was kind of like out all day, like all night, and I think it kind of put too much on my system, so I was super sick on Sunday. Halloween, I slept 20 hours or like 19 hours for the whole 24-hour period. I was pretty much asleep most of the day and just was
you
up.
Dead.
I was awake to eat. and then we bought like a ton of candy because we moved into a place and we thought, hell, there's going to be a lot of people around because we see kids everywhere. Zero trick-or-treaters.
Wow.
Wow, so yeah. You've got a lot of candy.
Yeah, and I'm in an apartment, but like you can see my door from the street. It's almost more of a townhouse than anything. So
yeah,
I was like, okay, that's weird. So I now have all of this candy and I'm sick. It's very weird.
Ben P is also joining us.
Hey man, what's happening?
Not much. How's your Halloween?
Mine was good. I dressed up as Raylan Givens from FX's Justified, the TV series.
Okay.
Timothy Oliphant's character. And, yeah, it was good. I mean, my costume was super obscure, and I don't think a single person recognized me as that person. Everybody just thought I was, like, a generic cowboy. But, but you know, it was good. Yeah, it was, I mean, P. Vader and I attended little shindig thrown by a couple friends of ours, and you know, it was good. No big deal.
They still have shindigs these days, huh?
Yeah, it was right next to the sock hop next door.
All right, nice. Sounds like fun. P. Vader, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
So I figured that, you know, you and Ben kind of had the same Halloween
adventure. Yeah, pretty much. I was not Raylan Givens, though. I was... I was the classic Clark Kent, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, basically,
nice.
Basically, I was just really lazy, and I had a Superman T-shirt, and I just put that on underneath like a dress shirt, and then there you go, Clark Kent.
Did you have a cape?
I did not. You don't Clark Kent. You can't see his cape.
Oh yeah, you're right.
All you need is a T-shirt and like some dress clothes.
Yeah,
and or some work clothes, and you're.
That's what I have.
You're absolutely right. Awesome, man. Well, my Halloween was good.
Did you dress up or did just your girls?
I did not dress up. My girls dressed up. I took them trick-or-treating, but it's like it wasn't like the other, you know, this year was kind of weird. It was like they didn't, you know, usually they just get tons of candy. This year it was like, you know, maybe it's the economy. People didn't want to spend money on candy. I don't know. But, they kind of got gypped on the candy this year, to be honest with you.
Because you didn't visit Mazer's house.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. At the same time, we didn't get any trick-or-treaters either. So we had an assload of candy, too. So
It all works out.
You know? So, yeah. So people weren't giving out candy, but we have a lot of candy.
Right on.
Nice.
So, and we did not get any candy filled with pot.
Is that like a thing? Does that happen?
Oh, you guys didn't see that on the news? They had this big thing on the news. There's like this big crackdown where they found a lot of candy and stuff that had been laced with marijuana.
Quote. If you have marijuana, why are you going to spend time doing that?
Well, people did. That's what's crazy, is people did spend time doing that.
I say reporters going after basically inventing a story just so they have something to talk about.
Sensationalistic media.
Yeah. This may have been someone's idea, then they made it so they could find it.
Probably. So... let's go through the box office numbers this weekend, shall we?
Yeah.
Saw 3D opened up this weekend. Of course, it came in at number one. at $22.5 million.
Wait, you didn't lose out to Inception?
Did not lose out to Inception.
Okay.
People went out to see this movie, and that's that. I didn't see it. Did anybody here see it?
No, I didn't see it.
No.
I did. Gee, didn't think so. So, but it was Halloween, so people went to the theaters and checked it out. Paranormal Activity 2 came in at $16.5 million. Red came in at 10.7. Jackass 3D, 8.5. And Clint Eastwood's Hereafter brought in 6.4. So that's pretty much what happened this weekend at the box office. Nothing too crazy. But, yeah, Saw 3D came in at number one. Not surprised, but I'm just happy that apparently, from what Lionsgate is saying, is the final one. So we don't have to deal with Saw anymore.
Fingers crossed, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed, exactly. Other than that, we'll move on to our new game that we've been doing the last 3 weeks, has it been?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I've completely sucked ass at this game. I still have yet to guess, to make a right guess or come up with the right answer. But the game is called Connect 3. This week, P. Vader is going to take the reins.
Yo, yo. I've got some for you.
So go for it, man.
Okay.
What are we doing here?
First up, I'm going to go... This one I feel like I'm going to give you guys a hint on just to begin. Because it might be a little tricky. So this is a character that links these three people together. And the three actors are Christopher Lee, Jeffrey Wright, and Alan Cumming.
Wait, a single character?
Yeah. There. Yeah.
Dracula. Character?
No.
Okay.
They don't all play this character.
Okay.
Character or an actor?
No, character.
Wait.
You guys need a hint?
James Bond.
That is correct. Mazer. Taking nice. It down.
Nice. Yeah, wow.
Good job,
man. With the, man with a golden gun.
Jeffrey
like,
Wright's what? Been in a few.
Jeffrey Wright?
Oh, he's the new Felix Leiter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quantum of Solace and Casino Royale, and then Alan Cumming
was Boris from GoldenEye.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm invincible.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Next one on the list. These are going to be movies. So we've got Spy Kids, South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, and Three Kings.
George.
Okay.
Ben P, got it. George Clooney.
Really?
I forgot he was in Spy Kids.
Yeah, I think he was like the
He was in Spy Kids?
Yeah, he was Mr. Anonymous or whatever.
Honestly, I've never seen Spy Kids, so...
Yeah.
Yes, you have. You've seen the 3D one, too.
I saw Spy Kids 3D.
I saw the 3D one. Did I? I don't remember anything about the Spy Kid movies.
I've never seen them either. So... all right, moving on. We're doing better this week, I think.
Yeah.
Moving okay. a lot faster, I guess.
Yeah. We've got...
We'll have to cut out the pauses.
Yeah. Those
now, that gives it fun. Gives time for the audience to come up with something.
That's true.
Okay, so we've got Leo DiCaprio, Shia LaBeouf, and Tom Cruise.
Steven Spielberg.
That is correct, sir.
Wow.
I need to go more arbitrary, apparently. Yeah, okay, so Shia LaBeouf was in the latest Indiana Jones, Tom Cruise, Minority Report, and Leo was in Catch Me If You Can, all directed by Steven Spielberg.
Also War of the Worlds for Tom Cruise, too.
Oh, that's true.
That's
yes.
what I was thinking.
Yes.
Okay.
Although we try to forget about it.
Yeah,
yeah. Indeed.
Especially that last.
I try to forget about the ending.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I can watch it up until 30 minutes before it ends, and then I have to turn it off because I hate the ending so much.
For me, it's up until his son leaves and is gone.
He runs into the fireball of death.
Yeah, once that happens, like, movie's done for me. Just stop and just go. They all died.
No, Dad.
I've only watched that movie once, so I don't even really remember it that well. But here we go. Last one. We've got Ian McKellen, Jack Black, and Mark Wahlberg.
Ian McKellen, Jack Black, and Mark Wahlberg. It's Peter Jackson.
Bankman is on the board with Peter
Jackson. Finally, I got one right.
Nice. Well done, sir.
Sheesh.
Jack Black in King Kong, Mark Wahlberg in, what is it?
The Lovely Bones.
The Lovely Bones, and Ian McKellen in the three Lord of the Rings. So,
and
very
possibly
good.
Possibly not in The Hobbit, because the guy still hasn't signed on to star in it yet.
Yeah, he's the one who's been, like, talking more than anyone
crap?
Else. Yeah.
I'm like, you figured he's the first guy they'd sign on before they even greenlit the films.
Yeah.
Well, he's the guy who's going to get the largest paycheck when they make it, so he needs to be the all of this is positioning and tactics and all that
stuff. Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, he'll eventually sign up for it. It's just a matter of time, but it's just the fact that he's not yet. It's just discouraging.
If not, I hope they get Michael Caine to replace him.
Yeah. Awesome. So why don't we talk about some stuff that we've been watching this weekend. We none of us went and saw 3D, so we're not really going to talk about that. If you saw it, write us an email and tell us what you thought. I'll read your review. If you can talk me into going, maybe I'll go. But if you just hated it, I'm willing to read a rant or two. So last week, Disney held a Tron night where they showed 23 minutes of footage from Tron Legacy in IMAX 3D. And this happened all over the country. I think it actually happened in Europe as well, in some other various parts of the world. So it's kind of a worldwide thing. And I went to this little event, and I know Mazer went to it. Did Ben or P. Vader make it out to
me? Nah, I didn't make it out.
No, we did not.
Well, that's a shame. It's just a bloody shame. Because
I can't decide if I'm doing the Inception treatment on Tron or not. I think I kind of am. So.
If you are, just stay out.
Yeah, I mean, if you've already started not watching anything, then you might as well not start now.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the
trailer. You already have, then just keep.
I can say with Inception.
But I love the freaking footage that they showed. I was sitting there. I went with my 5-year-old daughter, and we're sitting there and we're watching this footage, and my daughter is just like totally engulfed in this world, and she's having such a blast watching it. I was having a blast watching it. Everything I was seeing was just amazing. And finally, like, and Mazer and Ben can tell you, when we were at Comic-Con, one of the things I was most excited for was to see the Tron footage they were going to show. Fortunately, they didn't show any Disc War during Comic-Con, and that was like one thing that I really just wanted to get a taste of, is to see a disc battle in action. They didn't show it, but in this 23 minutes of footage, I saw it.
Nice.
You saw one minor skirmish.
Yeah, you saw a little scrimmage there, but it gave you a taste of what you're gonna see when this thing blows up in full force, and it looked awesome.
Nice, that's encouraging.
So the one thing that I know I've already talked to both of you guys this outside of this podcast, but we'll repeat this conversation for the listeners. The one thing that I've been hearing about the movie from people who have seen like early screenings and just like kind of little cuts of it here and there. I don't think anybody's really seen the full movie yet, but that was Garrett Hedlund's performance, and he plays Sam Flynn, son of Jeff Bridges' character.
Yeah.
And people have had some issues with that and saying that that has the potential to maybe even ruin the movie because it's so bad. So what did you guys think about Garrett Hedlund's performance?
I didn't have any problem with it at all. In fact, I thought that his character, the way he portrayed his character, was very genuine. I felt I love the fact that Garrett Hedlund isn't a well-known actor in this role. That he's kind of like, you know, he's kind of a newcomer to this whole thing. You know what I mean? And I think that because of that, he's able to bring kind of this, I don't know, this innocence or what am I looking for? Yeah, he's able to bring something genuine to the character that I liked. There's actually a film clip that was released today that showed one of the scenes that we saw in on the 23 minutes of footage of Tron Night. The scene is when Sam comes face to face with his father in the world of Tron after being separated and not seeing each other for 20 years. And they kind of cut it down for the film clip that they released online. It's edited in a way where you didn't get to see the full scene that we saw.
There's fewer details.
Yeah, there's fewer details in there, but you saw more of an interaction between Sam and Kevin. But in that scene, you get to see Hedlund act. He's like, you know, show emotion. It's, you know, father and son reuniting after all these years. How are you supposed to act during that? I mean, it's like, you don't break. He's not breaking down and like bawling uncontrollably, or it's not. There's no overacting in it. Everything's very subtle, but. Like I said, there's something in the eyes of Hedlund's character that it's like, man, this guy like is you really feel what he's feeling. Like that's how I felt when I was watching it, you know?
I think something that could be said about his performance is that you definitely it's well reserved, but something he does very well is he's does very well at reacting. And he's reacting in the way I would feel in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. So as an audience member,
every time you're like, wow, that is amazing. His expression and the way he's acting is exactly the way I'm feeling. So I feel like he's been able to find some way to – I feel like I'm him in the story. On top of that, you do feel his character's angst. You do feel his energy and some of his, you know – emotional confusion with everything that's happening. I think in the first opening sequence where we're in the real world and he's having a conversation with Alan.
Yeah.
And you can kind of like we only have them on screen for maybe what 3 minutes, but you feel like there's an entire history and relationship that was there. And it's not all being, you know, carried by Bruce.
Boxleitner.
Wow. it's not being carried all by him. I mean, there's really a back and forth, and you can really feel like there's this serious relationship there, because he's been, you know, Sam's surrogate father in a way. But you only see that for a few minutes. But it's totally established and totally believable. And every moment, I mean, in this footage, there's the most ridiculous things happening if you step back and talk about it out loud. But to visually see it, you don't question it because he's in that world. He's totally believable in that world. And he's probably looking at, you know, I mean, they built a lot of sets, but there's probably a lot of stuff where it's just a dot. And there's a lot of stuff happening like that. And he's done a really good job at, I think, bringing the audience in. Something he had talked about in an interview, he was talking about watching Jeff Bridges be Kevin Flynn in the first Tron, and how Kevin was a guy that you wanted to hang out with. This guy, he was very cool. He's like, you know, and he said, I wanted to bring that same type of feeling. I want to be a guy. I wanted to make Sam be a guy you want to hang out with. And I think that would, I think his, he definitely hit the goal of his performance.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm actually really surprised that people are saying that his performance could possibly kill the movie, because
it's an action film, and it's like, it's all reaction. I mean, look at Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones. Is he giving any great, brilliant dialogue? No, but he's giving all emotion in reaction, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Great comparison. You win.
But I mean, visually, I would say visually, I was amazed by this film. Tron has such a strong signature that if you even try to spin off of it a little bit, that's like totally Tron. I think this has taken it visually to another level, and it's going to be spoofed even more. I just had that feeling, like when I watched the first Matrix, was like, okay, this is going to kind of, you could feel that there was something different about this film. Avatar, it felt like I had that same feelings with Avatar in terms of what they were able to bring in terms of the CG, and I was like, we're going to see something really great in CG in the future. I feel like in terms of design and in terms of how people visualize 3D films, I think this is something, I think, kind of beyond Avatar in terms of the direction of the camera and all that kind of stuff.
I agree.
Because it was,
I thought the same thing while I was watching it. I'm like, dude, this is above and beyond even what James Cameron's done.
I think it's because of the Tron world. You have these smoke glass environments with glowing lights, and you have levels of depth and all sorts of stuff that you just can't have in the real world. And Tron just explores the 3D space in a way. I'm excited to hear what people have to say about it. Like, just regular people, just seeing their reaction would be great. So
yeah, if there's gonna be like an outcry of people who want to return to the Tron world and stuff, like the people who were like freaking out about going to, like, wanting to really live on Pandora and all that.
Yeah, I can see, like, I can see people going, I got to buy a 3D TV so I can watch Tron in 3D. Like, that's how, I can see that. I'm on that bandwagon at this point.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that we're all eagerly anticipating December 17th.
Yeah.
For sure.
Tickets are available already, by the way, folks. So.
Yeah. You can definitely buy your tickets. Yeah, looking forward to that. This week, I went out and bought the Back to the Future Blu-ray. I finally got around to watching it today. Absolutely incredible. I was freaking blown away. I'm like, I'm watching this movie, and it is better quality than any Back to the Future movie. There's only one Back to the Future movie, but it's the best quality Back to the Future film I've ever seen.
Better than what you've seen in the theaters?
Better than what I've seen in the theaters. I mean, it blew me away. I'm sitting here watching, I'm like, how in the hell did they get such a great picture from this 1980s film? This is by far the best Blu-ray, movie Blu-ray transfer I've seen, by far. Yep. It is so crisp and clean.
And I know some of the technical reason why. They, for the most of the effects, they shot it in 70mm.
And
that's because of the optical process, where when you do the optics, there'd be a degradation. So they would shoot it at 70mm so that even though they had all of these effects laid on top of each other, it would still look great at 35. But because they have all of those original 70mm things, they could scan all those things and restore it. And
well, it was freaking awesome, and I can't wait to watch it again. And I can, because I own it. But yeah, if You guys haven't got Back to the Future on Blu-ray yet. I strongly suggest it's to go buy it. I mean, if you're a fan of the movie, this is a must-have.
Are they selling them individually or all in one big pack?
Yeah, you got to buy it all in one big pack.
Okay.
So save up your money and go through your couch cushions and find that loose change.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. It really is.
Cool.
So, yeah.
How are the special features?
I haven't gone through the special features yet. Like I said, I just watched the movies today. So I'm going to go back and start watching the special features this coming week. So, yeah. But I've seen some of the stuff that have already been released online and stuff. But, yeah, I'll go through and watch that stuff later on. But
yeah,
as far as the movie and the picture goes, and just it's just incredible. I wasn't expecting that. I don't know if in one of the previous podcasts I talked about how I just got the Last of the Mohicans on Blu-ray and how it just totally just sucked ass, and I just want to throw it out because it's so bad and I can't return it, because once you open those damn DVDs, the store won't take them back. So it's like, I'm stuck with that shit. So mad. That movie would have looked great on Blu-ray had they put some time and effort into it. Oh, it's the compression and everything just sucks. Okay, anyway. Moving on. The Walking Dead came out, premiered on Halloween night, October 31st. Apparently everybody tuned in to watch the show, because it ended up being the most watched cable show of the year on any cable network, and was also the highest rated or highest watched show in AMC's history.
Wow.
This show was freaking awesome. Did you guys all watched it, right?
Yeah, yes.
Please tell me you watched it. Okay, good. This is, it's everything I wanted it to be. It's everything I hoped it would be. It's everything I said it would be. I mean, leading up to this point, I kept saying this is going to be better than any movie, any zombie genre movie that has ever been made, that we've ever seen. You know, that's a pretty big step, but that's what happened. This is the best zombie genre. It's not, you know, it's not a movie. It's not it's a TV show, but it's the best thing I've ever seen done on the zombie genre ever. It's so amazing.
Are you willing to make that claim after just one episode?
I am, yes, because I know that episode was so solidly done that I could have sat there and watched the entire season right then and there throughout the night. I wanted to so bad. In fact, after it was over, I watched it again. And then I watched it again tonight.
All right, I loved it, but I didn't love it that much.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
I feel shamed now for not watching it three times.
Well, I did, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome.
Mazer, what did you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't introduced to the Walking Dead comic book series, and it's very, you know, there's a lot of people who love it. I thought it was. It was pretty amazing. I just remember being at Comic-Con, and I hadn't really heard anything about it before then. And then find out Frank Darabont was part of it, and it sounded like this magical moment that, you know, something a great material plus a great director and an amazing cast all together. To be in a long form narrative television show, just it was like, how often that this doesn't happen. And
yeah.
I don't think this could have happened if there weren't successful television shows that have that came before it that basically paved the way that allowed this to even happen. I don't think people would have thought they would have thought movie for sure, but
yeah.
But now that television is such a platform, I mean, I just remember thinking a few years ago, hearing about not a few years ago, but maybe 10 years ago, a television show with a budget of, you know, over $1 million was crazy. And now, you know, like Breaking Bad has an episode per episode is like 5 or 6 million or something like that. So you can now get amazing, basically movies in each episode. It's amazing. Now to focus a bit more on the show, I'm really happy I can't even say anything about how excited I am to be continuing in this story because there's so much happening. They're setting so many things up, and they're able to take their time, but they're also not letting things drag. There's a few television shows out there that came out recently this year that I feel like they've kind of dragged a bit. I listening to the Not Just New Movies podcast, I think Ben P had talked about what was it?
No Ordinary Family.
No Ordinary Family and Hawaii 5-0. Mm-hmm. I think Hawaii 5-0 is a bit dragging. A lot of stuff does like kind of just drag, and to see it come out the gate like that, I hope they keep it up.
Yeah. I'm not really a huge zombie genre fan, but yeah, I definitely got into The Walking Dead. So much so that I had like a dream that I was in The Walking Dead.
Nice.
It pretty much scared the crap out of me, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, like this is, you know, a show that I'll definitely continue to keep up with. I love the fact that it's set in Atlanta. I think that in itself adds personality to the show itself. So, and maybe that's just the Southern boy coming out of me, but yeah, man, I'm looking forward to see what this show has to offer.
Yeah, I liked it a lot as well. The performances were really great, and Mazur brings up a good point about the pacing and stuff. It really does take its time. One thing that Mazur, you said it was setting up a bunch of things. I actually think that it didn't set up a lot of things, but I liked it because it didn't. A lot of times with TV shows nowadays, with pilots, you get into this, you fall into this trap of like trying to set the precedent for the entire season in the first episode with the story instead of just the tone and the feel for it. And I feel like The Walking Dead captured the tone and the feel of what I'm hoping the rest of the season is going to be without bogging the whole episode down in story points that are going to come up in episode 5 and 9 and whatever. I feel like it did exactly what it needed to do and concentrated on just what it needed to kind of get the point across and hook you early. We noticed that it went half an hour before going to commercial, which I think was a really great decision on their part, just in case somebody happened to stumble across it a couple minutes in. They still had, you know, 20 minutes or 25 minutes or whatever to really get invested in the show and then hopefully kind of, you know, form their kind of minor fan base out of that. So I'm not nearly willing to go to the lengths that Venkman is as far as proclaiming it like the greatest zombie thing ever, although it was really, really awesome. I think we have to wait a couple episodes more just to see and hope that it doesn't start dragging or peter out or whatever.
You guys are so patient with your TV shows.
It's not so that, man. It's that
I'm just giving you a hard time.
It's we've been burned so many times, you know. I feel like there's so many shows that just like that start out really well and then just drop off, you know. I just don't want to. It, maybe it's like being cynical or something, but
I'm a huge horror movie fan, and particularly I love zombie films. I've probably seen 90% of the zombie films out there that have ever been made.
And that's an absolutely absurd claim. I hope you realize that.
No, I have. Like,
he probably has the receipts for them.
I seriously have. I have seen everything from the big movies to the direct-to-DVD crap that no one ever sees. I mean, I've seen them all, okay? All
right. I can't prove you wrong, so I'm going to believe you 100%, though.
Yes. No. Needless to say, I am a huge zombie fan. And out of everything that I have seen, I mean, there are the classics. I mean, there are those films that set up the zombie genre, that, you know, created the mythos of the zombie and all this stuff. But this series just looks like it's just taken all of these great ideas and just put them into the story and just blew it up. Amazing, and just made an amazing show. And I can't, you know, I'm looking forward to the next episodes, just like you guys are. But I think after the first episode, I'm pretty positive it's going to keep on this road of being amazing. Now, I've all the comic, and if you know, keep following that, and they stick to their storyline, it's gonna work.
And my thing is I just hope they don't forget, they don't focus so much on the story stuff that they forget the zombie stuff.
Oh, well, that's the thing, is I don't think they will. I think they're gonna have a good mix of both the story and the zombie.
Okay.
So I think we're gonna be good. I think everything's gonna be okay.
Okay.
Cool.
I think it's going to beat out Mad Men at the Emmys next year. Okay, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
You're insane.
Yeah, I am. We'll see where we are episode 10.
Yeah.
Well, they only have 6 episodes for the first season.
Oh, that's right.
So we won't make it episode 10, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
I'm just thinking, because I just remembered watching, I mean, not, it's a good example, but Hawaii 5-0, and it was just like an action film, and you felt like you were watching, like, you know, what if Jason Bourne joined the Hawaii PD, you know? And it was like ridiculous, but you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then like it just kind of dropped off, and then it just became really episodic afterwards.
The fact that show is in Hawaii does a lot for it. I kind of just peek in and watch it every. I do watch it every week, but it's something where if I dropped it, it wouldn't affect my life.
Yeah, I watch it in like bursts, where it's like I wait for like a couple episodes or more to catch up on it. But I don't feel like Chuck. Like I watch every week. Smallville, I watch every week, and
Yeah,
it's just, I don't feel like I'm anticipating the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to move on to some geek news. Just going to quickly go through a couple things that have broke over the last few days. First off, Batman 3 got its title, The Dark Knight Rises, and it was also revealed that the Riddler will not be the villain in the film, so we can count him out. I know a lot of the fanboys and fangirls out there would have liked to see the Riddler played by Johnny Depp. It's not going to happen.
We've seen the Riddler.
It's fine. There's, you know, there's a rumor out there that the villain could possibly be Killer Croc, which would be cool.
I think it would be lame.
Well, here's the thing: is no one knows what he's doing, right? Or you'd like to think he knew what he was doing, and who knows? Maybe it won't be the Killer Croc. But if it is, the reason it is because Nolan has come up with a way to make it cool and to make people excited about it.
I'm gonna go on.
Yeah, the thing is, like, there's so many other Batman villains you could go with. The thing is, like, if you told me the villain was Calendar Man, I would still not think it was cool. I mean, like, Killer Croc is a terrible villain.
What villain would you think is cool?
Well, the Riddler would obviously be a good choice, but
The Mad Hatter.
That's what I like. Legitimately, I think the Mad Hatter would be good because it would just be like this insane dude who's obsessed with Alice in Wonderland, and like I think that would fit really well in Nolan's world.
I think merchandising
or whatever, you know, the rights issues of that, especially with Disney having Alice in Wonderland being as huge as it was this year, there's no way in hell it's going to happen. Yeah. But I think you could just have him be like a crazy freaking pedophile guy, and like that would be scary, like legitimately frightening in Nolan's world.
Or I think maybe an interpretation of a Penguin character where he was more a mirror to Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where he was, it was kind of a reflection on himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do the
there's
same
a lot
thing.
Of there's.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different. And every time I
Catwoman.
Go online. Yeah, there's rumors out there that the Catwoman will possibly be in it. I mean, honestly, whenever I go online and I start looking through the news, people are saying rumor, Batman 3, you know, and they're naming off every freaking villain, and it's just like, guys,
this is the thing.
It could be any
Iron
villain
Man,
in the DC universe, you know? Yeah. So it's like, is this really news?
Take
you
a chill like, pill.
Well, the one today was Clayface, you know, like, oh, Clayface is rumored to be the new villain in Batman. It's just like, ugh.
Well, my thing is, like, it's got to have a good villain. I think Iron Man is better than Iron Man 2, and that's because Iron Man 2 had no credible villain.
Yeah.
There was no danger. There was no – it felt really weak when there's – I mean, it only as good as the villain in. I mean, like, Superman Quest for Peace. Where was the villain? A movie without a good villain is Superman Quest for Peace.
Well, you know, a movie titled Quest for Peace, you just can't have a villain in it.
Yeah. Just to kind of qualify what Venkman was saying earlier, the Clayface thing is coming up because apparently Charlize Theron and Vera Farmiga are up for, or, you know, whatever, rumored to be added to this cast and playing characters that were introduced in the comic mythology about the same time that Clayface was and were involved with that character in the comic.
Exactly. And we still have no confirmation at all of who they're really, you know, reading for, if they're even reading for anybody.
Right, yeah.
So, I can see that, but it's just...
They could be reporters.
There you go, yeah. Vicky Vale. One of them would be Vicky Vale. I don't know. We'll see. Mission Impossible also got its title this week. Mission Impossible 4 will be called Ghost Protocol. They're going with the Tom Clancy novel feel with this next film. As much as I don't really care for the title, I'm really excited for the movie, just for the fact that it's got a great cast, and I'm really interested to see what Brad Bird will do in his first live action feature film.
Feels very techie, like very hackery, like I don't know, like Ghost Protocol, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that title was very carefully selected.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see. I mean, at a press junket where the title was revealed, Tom Cruise, it was also revealed that they were going to be shooting the film. A lot of the film would be shot in Dubai, and they would be shooting on the tallest building in the world. I can't remember what the building's called. But Tom Cruise said that he would be spending a lot of hours on the side of the building. So my theory is he's a window washer in Mission Impossible.
There's actually some pictures that came out today of him with he's like on the 124th floor of this building, and it's actually Tom Cruise, and he's just hooked on by this cable, and he's running along the side of the building. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's how window washers are doing it these days.
Well, plus Tom Cruise running, likes to
running,
run.
They are running across the buildings with squeegees.
I like Mazur's point because I'm picturing the inevitable Tom Cruise running YouTube update after Ghost Protocol comes out, and just that cut in with all of his other scenes.
So, yeah, I'm excited. What do you guys think? Are you guys excited for Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol?
I don't know if I'm necessarily excited about a fourth Mission Impossible.
Will you watch it?
Yeah, I'll watch it. I'm not like...
It's Brad Bird, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't see what there's... The thing is, like, trailer. They're going to send out photos and stuff like that, and it's not really going to be that interesting. So it's going to come down to that trailer.
Yeah,
exactly.
For me, it's going to be how much Jeremy Renner is actually involved, because, the more time passes, the more I really start to like that guy. So I want him to be kind of heavily involved.
Do you like him?
Are we really doing this right now? I think you called me out on my Chris Pine man crush like a couple weeks ago too. But the cast that they've assembled for this movie is pretty good, and I like the fact that there are even, a lot of people didn't really like the third one for some reason. I enjoyed the hell out of that movie.
I did too.
The third one was great. The second one was terrible.
Oh, I liked the second one. I actually liked the second one a lot too.
I thought the first one was terrible.
What? First one is confusing.
The
first one was awesome.
First one is confusing because whole thing comes down to continuity errors being a twist.
Just they have gum that explodes, and that's confusing.
And not seeing people very upset.
All right, maybe we can
there's
do
helicopters
like
helicopters and a subway.
Maybe we can do it.
After a train?
We'll do like
an
a
explosions
massive...
throw your body.
What's confusing about that? Look, all right.
I didn't like his haircut.
Loved the first one. Hated the second one. Loved the third. And we'll see you with the fourth.
Yeah.
Look, there's
okay.
I just wonder what they're gonna try to do with the fourth one, because. Are they going to try to start to establish more solid characters so that if Tom Cruise was not in the fifth one, the series could continue?
That's what I'm wondering about Jeremy Renner.
Yeah. So, be interesting to see.
We'll see. Real quick, just wanted to talk about this movie really fast. FDR, American Badass. This is Franklin D. Roosevelt versus werewolves.
I can't even take you seriously right now when you're talking about that.
Are they Nazi werewolves?
You know what? It's interesting. This news came from Production Weekly, and
or is this before he's president?
There's no details on it, but within 24 hours, and this made me wonder if Production Weekly got hacked and people were just like putting these fake tweets out, because within 24 hours we got word that Ghostbusters 3 would actually start shooting next year. I think it was March of next year. And then they tweeted that Michael Caine and Ray Winston and a couple other great actors were getting together for a Henry V sci-fi film. based on Shakespeare's Henry V, but sci-fi. And then we get this FDR American Badass with Franklin D. Roosevelt, one of the great presidents of the United States, fighting werewolves. So, like, that's all kind of like just weird news, right?
Sounds like it got hacked.
But if it is true, how awesome is that?
Well, I mean, we just had, the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Lincoln Vampire Hunter. You've got the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And I think it's just one of those things.
It's just like pairing
like classical things.
Like period.
Yeah, exactly.
With monsters, you know.
I'm just waiting for Beowulf in space.
The next thing you know, we're gonna get Gandhi versus zombies, you know. Whatever, you know. And I wonder how they're gonna implement, because you know Franklin D. Roosevelt was in a wheelchair. So it's gonna be interesting to see how they implement.
Maybe they mix him up with Teddy.
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is before he's president. So I'm thinking if they did FDR American Badass, it would be before he's president.
I wonder if they're just gonna keep going with like the presidential theme, because they've got Lincoln and now FDR. What are you gonna see, like
William Howard Taft versus Banshees?
Yeah. See, that is something that is so
I would watch
absurd.
That movie.
It's
there you
so
go.
Absurd I would line up for it. The other two that are actually in production are ones that like I feel like they're trying to grab too much at like the mainstream and capitalize on this ridiculous trend. But if something went so far as William Howard Taft versus Banshees, I would totally be down with that.
James, I don't know why they're versus trolls.
I don't know why they're skipping out on Ted Roosevelt. That guy was crazy.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, they could go. Yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt, Yeti Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeti Hunter. Exactly. Oh, it's gonna be amazing.
I'm gonna. I think bookmark.
We need to copyright this.
Yeah, I'm gonna check in 5 years.
Copyright these ideas so we can sue when they actually are made, because you know it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Definitely. Ben and I attended Long Beach Comic Con this weekend.
Yes.
We went on Friday. We get down there. What time do we get down there? Around 12
right o'clock? Right around noon, I think.
Yeah, right around noon. We get our passes. We walk in, and we're like, everything's gonna be set up and ready to go. And it's like, okay, this place isn't even ready to go yet. They haven't even started. It's like vendors are still setting up. And we're like, wasn't this supposed to start at like 9:30, 10 o'clock?
So we went and killed an hour, grabbed some food, came back. Listen, I don't want to like sit here and completely naysay a convention, because I understand it's hard. You have to put on an event, any sort of massive event like this, is going to be difficult to do. So, I, you know, who am I to sit here and say, oh, this event sucked, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying it was not anywhere, I mean, obviously it's not going to be anywhere near as interesting as San Diego Comic-Con, just because of the sheer size difference, right? So just completely discount that altogether. I'm talking about on just like an interest level, personally. There was almost nothing there that I cared about. And that's not necessarily a slam against the Long Beach Comic Con. That's just our interest didn't happen to mesh up. And that's because they had, I don't think, and Venkman, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they had a single film-related thing there except for a little...
They had Saw 3D.
Yeah. And aside from that, there was nothing. It was all comic books, which is fine. It's called Long Beach Comic Con. I get that.
I think it obviously was more catered to the comic book collectors and toy collectors.
Yeah.
And artists, you know, that's it. There wasn't a lot of movie stuff to check out. If you want to go pick up like some cool toys and comic books, then yeah.
So Long Beach Comic Con is what people would call the true comic book convention.
Right. And it's growing. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that's in its second year.
It's only in its second year. So
it's up and
it'll definitely grow.
Venkman, you went last year. Is it better this year or worse than last year?
Last year was actually pretty cool, because they did have a few different movies. They had some movie stuff set up last year. They also had some video game stuff set up as well. So there was, you know, stuff to do this year. And they had like little panels and stuff. They had Robot Chicken there last year, which was probably a highlight. You know, all the guys from Robot Chicken, they showed some footage from the upcoming season and all that stuff, which was great. But this year they didn't show up, and, you know, they had a screening of Trick or Treat last year with Michael Dougherty, the writer and director of it, doing a Q&A afterwards. So that was cool. They had Thomas Jane premiere his movie, which he did again this year, Dark Country. and he did a Q&A after. But yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem like it had the same energy that it had last year. I think the first year had a lot more energy. They really put in a lot of effort.
They're trying to get it launched and stuff, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. Ben and I were like, well, we're not coming back. You know, it's not going to be worth it. And then a friend of mine called me up and was like, hey, I'm going to Long Beach Comic Con. He was premiering an episode of a TV show that he was working on, the Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go and support you. So I went out there again on Saturday. Saturday was a lot busier. But still, it was pretty much the same thing, Ben. So you really didn't miss out on much. I pretty much just walked the floor again, said hi to a few people. I had my Geek Tyrant shirt on, and there were a couple more people that was like, hey, Geek Tyrant, I read your site. I'm like, awesome, dude. And I think that's what, you know, was more of the highlight for Ben and I when we went.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is we actually met people that read the site, and we sat there and talked with them. At great length, you know, we didn't just sit there like, oh, hey, you know, cool, nice to meet you, and walk away. We actually, you know, talked with them. And
yeah, we got into, like, some geeky conversations. We talked to this one.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
I think his name was Darren, Derek. I'm sorry, Derek, yeah. We sat there and talked to him for, like, probably, like, close to half an hour, just about, like, Zack Snyder's, you know, upcoming Superman movie and Chris Nolan and like the, you know, just a bunch of nerdy conversation, kind of like what we're doing right now. But.
Yeah. I mean, so it's really cool when you actually get to meet, I think it's cool when we get to meet the people who read our site, because then we're able to talk to these people in person and just get to know them. And I like that.
Yeah, so special thanks if you were at Long Beach Comic Con, came up and said something to us. We appreciate it. And if you guys happen to see us rocking a Geek Tyrant shirt anywhere across the country or in the LA area or whatever, come up and say something.
Right on. And also real quick, San Diego Comic Con, registration was supposed to open up on Monday. Everybody got on the site to register. The site crashed, and now on Monday, or November 8th, they're going to tell us when registration will open back up. So this is going to be crazy. Obviously, everybody wants in again.
I don't know what they're doing with their servers and stuff like that they're not able to set it up to be able to take that kind of peak capacity type. If they're smart and they know how to build their stuff, they shouldn't really have a problem with that. But I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Should write him a letter, Mister.
I just, you know, I hope they really try something a little bit better with their hotel registration as well. Because I hate this random crap of like.
Well, it doesn't even feel random. It just doesn't feel organized.
You know, last year I didn't even get a call back from anybody after I put in my choices. I had to call them like, hey, did I get any of my choices? No. Thanks for calling me back.
Yeah, I think we did, like, we kind of aired our grievances with the convention on one of the podcasts right after we recorded it. So we're pretty much rehashing those same things now. So go back and listen to that episode if you want our feelings on, like, the way that the convention should be run. And hopefully they'll maybe take some of those things into consideration and kind of switch up the game plan for this year.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we'll just save those notes for the Geek Tyrant convention.
There you go. Right on. And also, this weekend, the costume from Tim Burton's Superman were released online, and it makes you so glad that that movie never happened. Those costumes are absolutely horrifically awful.
Well, we've
terrible.
We've seen some of this concept art. And you thought, like, okay, concept art, bizarre, weird, okay. But the fact they got it to the fabrication stage where they were actually building it as the costume, yeah.
It's so bad. And just thinking of Nick Cage wearing these clear, colorful, neon light Superman outfits just made no sense whatsoever. I have no idea what drugs these guys were on when they were developing this movie, but thank the Lord that it didn't happen.
No, it's interesting. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna try to describe it.
there's no way to describe it.
I call it the inside out. The inside out crystal Superman. Best I can describe it.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's like phosphorescent or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there, but I'm just glad that movie didn't make it to the big screen.
I think it would have been a classic.
A laughable classic.
Well,
go right in line with Joel Schumacher's Batman films.
Well,
those look somehow tame compared to how far Tim Burton had taken the Superman costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, check out the video of Kevin Smith. He gives, like, this really long story about John Peters, I think is his name, who is a producer who was working with Burton and a couple other people on this version of the movie, because Kevin Smith wrote a draft of this version of the script, and he tells this really, really great story. So just YouTube, like, Kevin Smith Superman story, and just, like, sit back and enjoy it if you haven't seen that, because it's very entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. Other than that, this week we got, after a couple weeks of having no movies coming out, we've got a good amount of movies that are hitting theaters this weekend. We've got Danny Boyle's 127 Hours. That's one with James Franco, where his arm gets stuck between a rock and a hard place, and he has to...
Apparently very graphic.
So. Yeah, people were passing out in theaters when they showed it at festivals this year. So prepare yourself for some pretty crazy shiznit stuff.
That's a technical term, by the way.
That is a technical term.
You measure things in shiznits.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this movie. Danny Boyle's a great director. James Franco's a great actor. And this looks like it's going to be a pretty intense film, so I'm looking forward to it. Then we've got Due Date. That's the Zach Galifianakis and Robert Downey Jr. film, directed by Todd Phillips.
You know, I wasn't on board with this film when I first saw the trailer for it, but the more I've seen of it, I'm just like, why not? Let's go.
I think it looks funny. I'm looking forward to seeing that one as well, so... See how that turns out.
Look for our own Ben P in the background in one of the scenes.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
That should be fun.
So they'll go to the roster and match up his cartoon face with...
And I'm actually wearing the sweater from my roster photo in the movie, so...
Nice.
That'll work.
DreamWorks Animation is releasing Megamind this weekend. I've heard... not good things about this film.
Yeah, I was on, and then I'm now off the bandwagon.
I'm going to see it. My kids want to see it, so I'm going to go take them to it. So I will end up seeing this film, and I'll let you know how it is.
Yeah, I think I'm going to see it on Monday. I happen to be working at a place where they're doing a screening of it on Monday night, so we can maybe mention it next week or something.
All right, sounds good. And there's a couple of I don't know if anyone's interested in Fair Game. This is the movie that stars Naomi Watts and Sean Penn, where Naomi Watts is like set up by the CIA to take her down. It just looks like such a generic and awful film.
Well, it's based on a true story, but the thing which is makes it interesting to watch, but I think it just looks like it would be exhausting to watch.
It honestly doesn't look that interesting to me at all. I mean, I'm really interested in movies that are based on true stories, but this one just seems like it was poorly written, because if you watch the trailer, the dialogue in the film is so... nothing is new. It's all recycled dialogue from every international thriller type film that we've ever seen, you know?
Well, sadly, people in the real world talk in cliches, so.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, I won't be seeing that one.
Yeah, and I have no desire to see it at all. I also have no desire to see Four Colored Girls. That's the Tyler Perry movie.
I haven't seen a trailer for this.
I haven't either. I just know it's coming out.
Tyler Perry doesn't do trailers.
I've seen a trailer.
Red Hill is kind of like a modern day Western. We posted a trailer on this last month. Actually, it looks like a pretty solid movie. It's coming out limited release, so you may not get to see it in theaters. You probably have to wait till DVD. But it looks like it's a pretty fun film.
It's Australian,
if you like,
right?
If you like Westerns, yeah, it's an Australian Western. So if you're into that kind of thing, then it's something you'll enjoy. And then a movie I just want to highly recommend because I've already seen it. I saw it at Sundance this last year, Four Lions. This is a comedy about terrorism. I know this just kind of sounds weird, but it's so freaking funny. I laughed all the way through this movie. And if you can laugh at a group of idiotic jihadists trying to blow people up, then you're going to enjoy this movie. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah,
but it's funny.
If you're willing to give it a chance, you'll probably like it, as far as I understand.
Yes. It's,
if you're already closed off to the idea, you're not going to find it funny.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, I could see a ton of people being offended by this. Some of you are probably offended that I'm even talking and laughing about it. But if you saw the movie, you'd understand why I'm laughing, because it's really quite hilarious. And that's pretty much it. That's what we got coming out in theaters this weekend. So, you know, there's a lot of movies there. Pick and choose what you want to see. But choose wisely. Because movies are very expensive these days, especially in Los Angeles. In conclusion, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Geek Tyrant. You can fan us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. We'd appreciate it if you did that. We'd also appreciate it if you left a review. Emailed us. You can email us at geektyrant@gmail.com. Give us some thoughts, any suggestions, any comments, questions, concerns, criticisms. We're open to it all. You can donate to help us keep going, keep the site rolling at geektyrant.com/donate. Any donations would be very appreciative. Then geektyrant.me, you can go there and buy a t-shirt. You can buy glasses. You can buy all sorts of fun, geeky stuff. It's a store that's growing, so as we keep going, we'll keep adding more stuff. But yeah, if you want a Geek Tyrant shirt, that's the place to go, geektyrant.me. Other than that, thank you everybody for listening. Tell your friends about the podcast, tell your friends about the site. Help us grow, help us get out there, get the word out.
One more thing, Dr. Bankman.
Yes.
You yourself were actually a guest on the most recent episode of the Not Just New Movies podcast, where we talked about Michael Dougherty's Trick or Treat. So if you guys are still jonesing for next year's Halloween already, or still got a little bit of that lingering Halloween feeling left in you, that's your solution right there.
Definitely. That was a fun podcast. I really enjoyed doing that. And that's actually on the site. Where else can you find it?
Yeah, so you can find it on geektyrant.com. Just click on the podcast link on the side, and you'll find it in the feed there, or at notjustnewmovies.com.
And but I want to add something.
Yes.
The Force Unleashed 2 touches the bar of the original, but does not exceed it.
Okay.
That's the shortest video game review we've ever done on this podcast.
Yeah.
That's kind of disappointing to hear.
Yeah, yeah. It's still, you still feel like a Jedi, though. I don't know how else to...
Isn't that ultimately what matters in life?
Yeah, it's ultimately what matters. Not better, just as good as the first.
All right. Well, so thank you again, everybody, for listening. Anybody have anything else to say?
No, sir. That'll do it. See ya!
Then go out in the world and declare your tyranny. I said it right.
Yes.
Take care, everybody. Bye.